God's word. But first, I have to sing you a solo. Sure. I just want to get your attention. Now I have your attention, you will listen. Not a chance. One of these days, we're going to learn that chorus. I'm convinced that you would like it. One of these days, you'll like it. I will learn it. I get my wife to help me with it. She also went to Sunday school a long time ago. We're going to go to chapter 3 of Exodus. And we're just going to begin at verse 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the west side of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not near here, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land onto a large and good land, onto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and Jebusites. Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me. And I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. We saw earlier today where God heard the cry of his people. God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God knew their plight. Now God was ready to do something about what he had seen and what he knew. What he understood was happening to his people. He said to Moses, I am come down to deliver them, to deliver. That's the key word, beloved, to deliver. And that's something that you and I have experienced. To deliver means to redeem. Redeem means to deliver by paying a price. And a price has been paid for your deliverance and mine. It's called redemption. It's called a ransom. And Jesus was that ransom. And we're going to make the application later on, but we're going to look at redemption. And there are three basic words that explain three different phases of redemption, and I'm going to attempt to explain them, and don't get the idea that I know Greek, because I don't. I picked up a few words here and there, and I understand a few words, and after these three words, you would have heard about 90% of the Greek that I know. But God's purpose was threefold. Redemption. To deliver by paying a price. One of the words, the Greek words that explains redemption, is called agorazo. And I know there are some people here that know a lot more Greek than I am, and they'll let me know if I'm saying it right, if I'm getting it right. I hope they will. It means to buy in the market. And we were slaves sold under sin. The next word is ex agorazo. It means to buy out of the market. It means to purchase and to remove from further sale. Ex agorazo. And then there's lutro, to loose, to set free, to release as a slave. In God's redemptive work on behalf of his people, God said three things. I'm going to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians. Then he said, I'm going to bring them out of the land. And then he says, I'm going to bring them into a good land. A land flowing with milk and honey. He delivered them, first of all, from their bondage. He bought them in the marketplace. He delivered them from the time of servitude under the Egyptians. I'm going to deliver them out of the hand. Out of the hand. Deliverance from bondage. Meaning the termination of years of servitude was their emancipation. When we think of the redemptive work of our Lord on behalf of his people here, we too have been delivered out of the hand of the enemy. In the book of Hebrews, in chapter 2, it says, in verse 14, it says, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. That's deliverance from the hand. Deliverance from under servitude of Satan. Now, when the Lord Jesus was here on earth, he often went to the synagogue. And in Luke in chapter 4, we find him there in a synagogue in Nazareth. And they gave him the scroll to read. And he opened the scroll at the book of Isaiah. And if you want to know exactly where he read from, was Isaiah 61. It's 61 in our Bible. It says it came to pass, he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. As I said, in our Bibles, it's Isaiah 61 in our Bible. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, to set them free, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book. There was another part to that that he did not read, because that would be part of his second advent, the day of vengeance of our God. He did not read that. He closed the book. And he said something significant to the people. He said, this day, today is that scripture fulfilled in your ears. This is what the prophet had written about. I am the fulfillment. He is the antitype of all that was written there in the prophecy of Isaiah. He was the fulfillment. He says, today is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Redemption. I'm going to deliver them out of the hand, from bondage, the bondage of the Egyptians. They were serving them, and they were ill-treating them, and they were hard-tasked masters to the people of God. But then God not only saw and heard, but he came. He came to their rescue. He called the man that he had chosen, Moses. That great man of God, now ready to go to Egypt. Even though he thought that he wasn't able, God knew who he was. God knew he was able, even though he objected, I am not able, I am not fit, I am not eloquent, I am not this, I am not that. God says, I will be with you. You're not anything, but I can make you something. And that's the man that God uses, you know. Not the person that thinks that so much of himself, but the one who thinks of himself as inadequate, not fit, not worthy. Not able, rather. God is able. Redemption. Paul writes in Colossians 1, in verse 13, he says, who hath delivered us, speaking of the Lord, from the power of darkness, out of the hand, from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom, that is Christ, we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, deliverance out of the hand. He says, also, I'm going to bring them out of the land. You know, God could have delivered them and left them in Egypt, but Egypt was not home. Egypt was not the place that God had promised them. I'm going to bring them out of that land. Ex agorazo. You are only going to deliver them there, but you're going to bring them, you're going to remove them from that environment. You're going to remove them from any further sale or any further bondage. He's going to bring them out of that land. He is able. He will not only save, beloved, but he would keep and he would preserve. He would set you free. The Lord Jesus speaks of the freedom that he offers. The redemption that he offers, he says, it's not about what people say. It is not a theory of any kind, he says. It is actual. He says, whomsoever the Son set free is free indeed. And he would bring them out. And what a deliverance that was, beloved. What a tremendous display of God's power in bringing them out of that land, because Pharaoh resisted. Time and time again he resisted. He refused to let the people go in spite of different plagues and angels. Until God said to Moses, prepare the Passover. And you obey these instructions. We could talk about the Passover lamb, but we don't have a whole lot of time to do that. But what a beautiful picture of our Lord, the Passover lamb, but we don't have the time for that now. But you know that the lamb had to be slain and the blood had to be applied to the lentils and the doorposts. And God said to Moses, and Moses said to the people that what God had said, when I see the blood that's applied to the doorposts and the lentils, I will pass over you. So they had to obey the old instructions, and when the destroying angels came and they passed over the houses of the children of Israel, because they were sheltered, they were protected by the blood. A picture of you and I, beloved, we will never see the wrath or the judgment of God, because we are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, has cleansed us from all sin, and Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. He bore that curse for us, that you and I might be delivered. And when the time came, Pharaoh was no longer reluctant, he was no longer resistant. He says, get out of here, lest we all die. He was anxious for them to leave. And God brought them forth. That land. Pharaoh said, get out now. Leave now, lest we die. You can read that in Exodus chapter 12, 31 to 33. He says, get out. Get out. Bring them out. But they were still being pursued by the Egyptians. Even after they left, the Pharaoh had a change of heart, and he wanted to enslave them again, but God had delivered them. And so he pursued them, and the children of Israel were getting anxious again, because they came to a place where there was no escape in their minds, and then they thought that they're going to perish. But here was God's servant, being assured that God would deliver them, because God had promised to deliver them. redemption, taking them out of that land. When they complained, Moses said in Exodus 14 and 13, Moses said unto the people, fear not, I know they're behind you. I know there's a river ahead of you, or a sea rather. He said, but stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which the Lord will show you today. For the Egyptians, those people who are pursuing you right now, ye shall see them again no more. God is going to deal with them. You son of our Lord, see his hand in deliverance. And it says God, what a beautiful picture. It says God saved Israel that day, verse 30 of chapter 14. Out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. God saved them. God redeemed them. What do you do after redemption, beloved? What happens after you know that you have been redeemed? God gives you a song. A song. It was after redemption when Israel looked back and saw the Egyptians. They were drowned and they were on the other side and they went down and they got to the other side of the sea. The Bible says, then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord. It is the song of the redeemed. When they were in Egypt, they had no song because they were in bondage. They couldn't sing the Lord's song. They were being oppressed. But now they looked back and saw the deliverance of the Lord, and they said, then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto God. What a beautiful song of redemption, beloved. We don't have time to read it, but I'm going to just read a couple of verses. What a song. And spoke, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. Who delivered you? The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation. My Father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. I'm going to bring you out of that land. You know the Lord delivered us. And he has given us a song as well. I wonder if we sing it often. You and I, beloved, we have a song of the redeemed. Unto him that loveth us and has loosed us from our sins in his own blood. Unto him be honor and glory, dominion and power. That's the song of the redeemed. That's the song that they sang in when John had that vision of the Lord. And we read it often in Revelation chapter 5, a new song saying, thou art worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us. That's our word. Has redeemed us to God by thy blood. Out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And has made us unto our God a kingdom of priests. And we shall reign on the earth. We were exercising our priesthood this morning. Holy priesthood, as we enter the holiest of all in the Holy of Holies, bringing our praise and our worship to the one who redeemed us. So we have deliverance out of the hand and deliverance out of the land. And we have also separation, beloved, because he's going to bring them out of that land, out of that place. It says the children of Israel journeyed. They left Egypt. They journeyed. And you and I, we have a responsibility to leave Egypt. He says in 2 Corinthians, and we don't have time to read it all, but 2 Corinthians 6, wherefore come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will be a father to separation. But that's not all. Because after they left Egypt, they were in the wilderness. They still needed a place. Just like you and I, beloved, we have been redeemed, saved by grace, but this is not home. This is not home. One songwriter said, this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. The shadows are lit up somewhere beyond the blue, and the angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. This is not home. The wilderness was not home. And even though they wandered there for 40 years, and it took them 38 years to get from Kadesh Barnea into the land, they were still going to the place of possession. You have to go home. He says, I'm going to bring them onto a land flowing with milk and honey. It's a good land. It's a good land. God had promised it to Abraham in chapter 17 of Genesis. I will give unto thee and thy seed after thee the land wherein ye shall sojourn. I don't want to take up what's going on in the Middle East right now in Israel, but, you know, they're not occupiers. It's their land. It's their land. When you think of what God says, where he would give that to the Euphrates, you take that in. It's their land. But that's for another time. He said to Abraham, lift up your eyes and look north, south, east, and west. After Lot had left him, I will give it thee, and I will give it to your seed. Their land. Possession. Possession. But Israel, because of unbelief, they're not even possessing half of what God had given them. They're just on the fringe of what God had given them. And they wonder, and they're still in unbelief, but one day God is going to bring them from the four winds of the earth. He's going to bring them back into that land. God's provision, I'm going to give you a good land. Redemption not only takes you out, but it brings you in. Into the good of the land, into the promise of God. In Deuteronomy in chapter 4, and we got to get on with it here because time is gone. The Lord was angry with me, this is Moses, for your sakes, and swore that I should not go over the Jordan, and that I should not go into that good land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance. The Lord has given it for an inheritance. Joshua, he is the one that succeeded Moses. And Joshua said to the people, go in. Let us go in and possess the land. Go in and possess the land. That's what we have in Joshua chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. Israel had a good land. I just want to just show you Israel's inheritance side by side with our inheritance for the next 2 minutes or so. And you and I can enjoy, we can appreciate what God did for Israel, and we can enjoy what is in store for us. We can appreciate what our sister has gone to experience in the presence of the Lord and what will yet happen in the future. But here's what God gave to you, that he brought them into that good land. In Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 7, it says this. We don't have the time, but I'm just going to read this. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths and springs, out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness, thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills thou mayest dig bronze. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for a good land which he hath given you. That was Israel's inheritance. God was going to bring them into a good land. That was for the earthly people of God. But for the heavenly people, we also have a good land, beloved. Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. That's our inheritance. Peter tells us of that inheritance. I'm going to read it, what Peter says, by the Spirit of God, of our inheritance. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, that's ours, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. That's our land, a good land. It is what God has given us. Here's a description. Revelation 21, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. That's our inheritance. That's what God has prepared for us. The next description is in 22:1-4, but I'm gonna stay here. But that's good enough. That's our land. God has given us a good land. We sometimes sing, "There's a land that is fairer than day," and by faith we can see it afar. Let me close by just quoting a chorus of a song that I've been humming and singing all weekend when I was studying this. Speaking of our home, it says, some call it heaven, but I call it home. Some call it paradise, somewhere beyond the sky. Some call it dreaming. Let me dream on. Some call it heaven, but I call it home. Home. I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the hearts of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. We talk about it, beloved, but we cannot tell it to the extent that we can fully appreciate it, because the half has not been told. We cannot tell it as we know it. We cannot explain it. But one day we shall be there, and we shall see him as he is. God help us to appreciate what he has done, the great redemption that he's provided in Christ Jesus our Lord, delivering us from so great a debt. God bless his word. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for this day. We thank thee for bringing us together. We thank thee for giving us thy word. We thank thee for the hope thou hast given us. Our hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who has redeemed us and the one who has imputed unto us thy righteousness. And we belong to thee, and we're heading to that place that he has prepared for us, a place that is even greater than the earthly inheritance. It's the place where he is. It's where, "For where I am," said he, "there ye shall be also." He did pray that where I am, there might be also. Those who love me might be there with me as well. We thank thee that we are heading there to be with him, and we shall never be separated. Thank you for thy precious word. Thank you for the privilege of remembering him, the one who came to purchase our redemption on the cross, and for remembering him in the breaking of the bread and the drinking of the cup. Watch over us as we go to our respective homes. Be with us and guide us. Preserve us and deliver us. Strengthen us, and may these things remain in us as we muse upon who thou art and what thou hast done. We pray and give thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.